Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back into the Nick Hale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Radio.com app. Great to have you in here on a Saturday, Atlanta. With you for the final hour as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. We'd like to thank the Braves for showing up in a big Game 6. I don't know. They should have listened to the show around 3:08 today. I said, don't pitch to Corey Seager. What do they do? First inning, boom, on the board. 1-0 Dodgers. It is now 3-0 Los Angeles, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Right now, time to talk some college football as we welcome in Braden Gall, host of the Athlon Sports Cover 2 podcast, my partner, a guy that for some reason tolerates me for about 60 minutes each and every Sunday night. And he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Mr. Braden Gall, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing very well. It's a college football Saturday, so I'm in my happy place.
All right. Pants are off. Radios are tuned up. Let's get into it. So, I mean, you know this conference as well as anybody. I want to start with Bama, Georgia, but really from the perspective of the head coach, Kirby Smart, and the guy who he succeeded in, Mark Richt. Through 4 years and 3 weeks, have we learned anything more about Kirby Smart that says he's exponentially different than Mark Richt?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously national championship is the goal, so they have not got that yet. But it's hard to argue that he's not already taken Georgia to another level on multiple fronts, because when you fire Mark Richt, and Georgia fans know this all too well, I mean, you're firing a guy who was incredibly successful, 5 yards from a national championship in 2012 with Aaron Murray. You know, won a couple of conference championships. You know, he was constantly winning 9-10 games every single year. Well, if you fire that guy, and he's recruiting, the 8th, 9th, 10th best recruiting class in America. If you fire that guy, you're shooting at a very, very small target. And Kirby Smart has already hit basically both of those targets, which is recruit top 5 classes, top 3 classes in America, and win SEC championships and play in the playoff, which he's done. So has he finished the job yet? No, he needs to win the national championship. Georgia's the only big program of the SEC's Big Six that has not won the national championship since the BCS era began in 98. So he's got to finish the deal. But so far, I mean, the guy is absolutely taken the Georgia to another tier. He has not finished the job yet, like I said, but he's definitely, that program is in better shape than when he got there. And it wasn't like it was in bad shape when he got there. It was pretty good. It's just now one of the elite rosters and one of the elite teams in America. They just need to finish.
Braden Gall joining us, Athlon Sports Cover 2 podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Also check out his side venture as well, 440 Sports. You can follow them on Twitter. So let's look at the game tonight, because we've seen over the years when Nick Saban loses, he typically loses to a quarterback that is otherworldly, or even a mediocre guy like a Steven Garcia who has the game of his life. Can Stetson Bennett beat Alabama?
I guess, with that defense, I guess you can. I'm not putting my money on it. I think that, no one has made Georgia, certainly Auburn and Tennessee aren't anywhere close to, or Arkansas, aren't anywhere close to what Alabama will offer him from a challenge perspective. But, he has not had to make big throws in the fourth quarter, trailing. He just hasn't had to face that situation. And he doesn't scream national champion to me. He's been very poised. He's been very calm. He was very good on third down against Georgia. He sort of withstood the pressure of Tennessee in the first half, even though Georgia was clearly the better football team. And then, like an old Alabama team, Georgia sort of sat on top of them and suffocated the life out of them and and all of a sudden the dam broke and Georgia was up by 3 touchdowns. So, you know, I think he's totally capable of winning a lot of games, almost all of them. The question is he capable of winning the biggest game? And we're going to find out tonight. My bet would be no. My bet would be I'll take the Bama defense, which has had its own flaws. My bet will be I'll take the best offense in America at Alabama to score at least a few times on the best defense in America, which is Georgia. And then it's going to be up to Stetson Bennett to make a few plays. And if you're down 27-21 in the fourth quarter in Tuscaloosa tonight, and it's 3rd and 9, can he make the play? And that's what we just don't know. We're going to have to figure that one out tonight together.
Let's go to the Bama side of the equation for this game and really this season. You look at the Alabama defense, they certainly are not as good so far statistically on paper as Georgia as far as points per game surrendered, rushing, passing, things of that nature. I know last year they had some injuries, a lot of inexperience, had to play a lot of young kids. What are you seeing from Alabama's defense? Is this just a sign of the times in college football, or do they have some real holes?
So I think it's a little bit of everything here. I would bet on Alabama's defense getting much better as the season goes along. That would be my wager. I know you're a big gambling guy. I think number one, everybody is behind because of the pandemic. Every defense is behind because everybody's been running skeletons and 7-on-7s, you know, basically every day in practice for the last 8 months. So like everybody's offense is on all cylinders right now, whereas everybody's defense. I think Dan Mullen in Florida said they hit like once or twice in the preseason. You can't stand up a 320-pound Alex Leatherwood, shed him, and then tackle Najee Harris without having some reps. And so I think that's why, number one, I think defenses are just behind across the board, Big 12, SEC, or otherwise, and that includes Bama, which also speaks to how good Georgia has been on that side of the football because they're one of the few teams where their defense is clearly just already there and on. They do have some young pieces. They got a couple of young pass rushers at Alabama that you think are going to be really, really good. They do not have that Xavier McKinney sort of, that jack of all trades, do everything, organize the defense on every play and lead from the back end and sort of be that safety net like they've had with Minka Fitzpatrick and Landon Collins over the years. So they don't really have that player yet. They've got some really talented guys at corner. But so there's a few things where you can go, yeah, that's not as good. But again, I think over time, my bet would be that Alabama's defense, as long as it stays healthy, is going to be pretty formidable by the end of the year. It may not matter because their offense may average 50 points a game.
Braden Gall, Athlon Sports, 440 Sports, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the radio.com app. So let's go around the conference. A couple of things that really jump out today. We continue to see upsets, and then we see upsets that are just down, maybe downright surprising when you look at the final score. What the heck happened at Neyland Stadium today?
I mean, Kentucky wanted it, and Tennessee, all of the things happened for Tennessee, all of the bad things. And, you know, Kentucky hasn't won there since 1984, so they had a lot of motivation going into that game. Kentucky is certainly much better than its 1-2 record was when they entered that game. They basically outplayed Auburn in week one, and Auburn beat them. You know, you could point to the bad officiating, but there are some other things, that mistakes that they made. Obviously, you miss an extra point and you lose to Ole Miss. So, I mean, really, Kentucky's a couple of plays away from being 4-0 right now. I think they are a better team than people were giving them credit for. So that's number one. Number two, Tennessee just has issues across the board. Like, they're just not – a lot of people tried to warn people that beating Missouri and South Carolina 4 times and UAB and Vanderbilt and Kentucky is not a reason to claim that you belong. And so they've been exposed as sort of the middle-of-the-pack team that they are. My problem really is the deficit, 34-7. That's the 10th time Jeremy Pruitt has lost an SEC game by 3 touchdowns or more. I mean, his teams have gotten destroyed in some situations. And that's fine in year one. All right, we're rebuilding. We're trying to replenish the roster and take over and develop guys and all that stuff. That's an excuse in year one. It's not an excuse in year three. The quarterback is not developed. He sort of is what he is. And it's your fault as the head coach if there's not a better option on the roster. He's recruited 4 quarterbacks, Jeremy Pruitt has, and signed a graduate transfer, and not one of them is better than Jarrett Garantano. That's a Jeremy Pruitt problem. He hired Jim Chaney. Georgia fans will tell you that didn't really upset him all that much. He was a very underwhelming and unimaginative hire when he made it, and his offenses are unimaginative and uninspiring. I don't know why fans are shocked by that. So, and the defense has been, you know, for the last six quarters, the defense hasn't been able to stop anybody. So it's across the board problems, and it hangs around Jeremy Pruitt's neck squarely right now. And they've got, you know, they got Bama coming to town. They still got to play Florida. There's still some winnable games. So there's a lot of tough decisions coming for Jeremy Pruitt in the next few weeks in Knoxville for sure. But also give credit to Kentucky. Mark Stoops, you know, that was his 46th win this year in his career at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. That ties him for second all time in Kentucky history, only behind Bear Bryant. That team, you know, totally shut down Mike Leach and KJ Costello last week. That's a good program. They're just a program right now. They're not a great program, but they're just a really good football program. And Mark Stoops, I think, is undervalued as a football commodity in the SEC for sure.
Just one follow-up on the Tennessee game itself, because this audience will certainly know the name Harrison Bailey. He's from Marietta, Georgia, just 15, 20 minutes outside of Atlanta. I know they went to Shrout after Garantano threw the two pick sixes, and Shrout threw an interception. They go to Bailey. Are we at the point now where we see Harrison Bailey moving forward?
I think that's the question Tennessee fans and Jeremy Pruitt and offensive coordinator Jim Chaney are going to have to ask themselves this week, and they certainly didn't clarify any of it in the post-game press conference, basically saying everything is kind of on the table. I'm paraphrasing there. The reason they went to Shrout early was to give Garantano a chance to calm down, and then they went back to Garantano. That was sort of the plan there. The question about making a more permanent switch is entirely about Harrison Bailey, in my opinion. Jared Garantano, like nothing from Brian Maurer or JT Shrout has shown me that they belong in the game. So if you're going to play one of those guys, then you might as well just stick with Garantano. The idea behind going to Harrison Bailey is if you want to find out if he is the guy to lead the program in the future long term, then I'm okay making the switch to Bailey and letting him play, because even against Alabama, because every rep in the SEC is a good rep. Every time you get a chance to face a live defense in the conference, you should get better. And so if he's the answer, you go to him. But you know when you do that you're probably punting on 2020. And you know that he's going to take a lot of lumps. You know that he's going to have to grow and he's going to have to learn. And, you know, he didn't have a lot of practice in summer camp and going into the season. So you just have to kind of make the switch knowing you're not going to win as many games. If you want to win as many games as possible, Jared Garantano is the answer. If you want to build for the future, then Harrison Bailey might be the answer. And I do not subscribe to the theory that, you know, if you're a young player and you get tossed into the fire and mentally you're broken or crippled because of a bad experience mentally, then I'm sorry, you're not a quarterback in the SEC. Like, you just don't belong in the starting role as a QB1. Like, mentally you should be able to handle everything the league throws at you if you truly are the guy. So, now, physically, Alabama, you know, we've seen Alabama, like, decapitate players, so that would be a concern. But their offensive line is good enough that it should allow for at least a little bit of opportunity to throw it. So that's about what you want. If you want to win games, it's Garantano. If you want to build for the future, maybe you throw Bailey out there and see what you got.
All right, final one for you. We saw another upset today in the conference, a small one, but still an upset. South Carolina knocks off Auburn. Is this just typical Auburn? When we expect them to do something, they underachieve, and when they are kind of under the radar, they pop up with 10 wins?
Yeah, I think some of it is, you know, I think Bo Nix is a really talented kid. He's frustrating that it doesn't feel like he's sort of taken another step in his development with new coordinator Chad Morris, who really should have been a really nice fit for him. So Bo Nix made a bunch of mistakes today. But, yeah, this is just Auburn doing Auburn things, like, for lack of a better explanation. Will Muschamp's got his back against the wall as a coach in South Carolina, so you can understand how they came out swinging today. But now Gus Malzahn's one of those guys that they probably should have lost to Arkansas. The officials screwed that up. And, you know, again, Kentucky, you could argue Kentucky outplayed them in week one. That would make them a pretty bad team right now. So I think you've got to, you know, and if you're a Georgia fan, part of being a big-time fan of college football in the SEC is not only enjoying your team, but also watching other teams fall flat on their faces. And, you know, for Georgia fans right now, you've had a pretty good weekend, right? You're watching Auburn lose. You're watching Tennessee lose. Like, you're watching a lot of your hated rivals fall on their faces. And that's a good day for Georgia, despite what could happen tonight. And so I don't know, you know, Gus Malzahn and Auburn fans, you know this, Nick, it's a total crapshoot with what they're going to do. They wanted to get rid of Gus, you know, for years, even though he's probably a pretty good coach. So, who knows what's going to happen there? Which boosters have the most money, and which of those boosters hate Gus Malzahn the most? Because that's not a good loss for that program today.
Follow him on Twitter at Braden Gall. You can rate, review, subscribe to the Athlon Sports Cover 2 podcast, and go check out 440 Sports while you are at it as well. Appreciate the time. Thanks, bro.
Always a pleasure, man. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Braden Gall joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We will come back about 35 minutes to go in the show. We're going to get to the SEC swing. We'll get back into some of the Braves stuff, some of the Falcons. We've got picks to make. A lot to do in the final 40 minutes of the Nick Hale Show right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every touchdown.
Touchdown, Atlanta.
Slam dunk.
He jams.
Shot on goal.
Hit shot, goal.
Home run.
First pitch is belted.
All season, hear it here.
Even on the weekends.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ah, yes, you'll hear that on television in just a couple of hours as the Georgia Bulldogs get set to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide on the SEC on CBS coming up in just about 2.5 hours. I got to tell you, if you're a college football fan and you hear that music and that doesn't put a little lead in your pencil, I don't know what to tell you. I can't help you. Yeah, I mean, that's what they make Cialis for, because that gets me in the mood. But I digress. We'll get to the SEC swing coming up in just a few moments. We got a rant. We got to vent here a little bit about the Braves. And I try to typically, not talk about games in depth while they're going on. Right? I'm trying to do a talk show. I'm not a baseball analyst for TBS. But Dylan Matthews, my producer, what we just saw on Fox Sports 1 is a gut punch of epic proportions, because you give up a 3 spot, you're trailing 3-0. You come back, you load the bases up in your half of the inning, and you come away empty with nobody out loading up the sacks. Clearly, there's only one man that can be blamed for this. His name is Matt Ryan.
Clearly. I mean, for the guy that is responsible for everything, for every bad thing that happens in Atlanta, I mean, you can only put the blame on Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan, because that right there is inexcusable. And Matt Ryan is going to have to answer to that.
You know, and I'm seeing some tweets from a lot of people I follow in Atlanta that cover the Braves, or some Braves fans that I follow. They're all losing their minds now, because now I wasn't seeing every at-bat, but the gist of all the tweets are, stop swinging for the fences. Stop trying to tie it up with one pitch or take the lead with one pitch. Play small ball, situational baseball, station to station, lay down a bunt, hit and run, all the stuff that this team at times can be challenged to do. I don't know if you saw it, but is that a fair complaint right now?
That is utterly and completely fair. Walker Buehler, literally, it looked like after the bases were loaded with nobody out, and then it was Austin Riley, Nick Markakis, and then Christian Pache. Those are the three batters next. I'm pretty sure 75% of the time in each of those at-bats, he was throwing them nothing but fastballs. Nothing but fastballs. So he was challenging them, trying to say, okay, if you want to go swing for the fences, go right ahead. Every single time they were missing late on the fastballs. At this point, if you see he's throwing you nothing but fastballs, square up for a bunt. Either square up for the bunt, put the bunt down, get a run, make them make a play, put the ball in play, make the defense work, or if you square for a bunt, he's going to be like, oh, okay, they're not trying to swing for the fences. Yep. They're actually trying to get on the board. He might throw you something different, and then maybe you can get a hit or make something happen, but you're too busy trying to get it all back in one swing, which is dumb because you have so much time left. It just is super, super frustrating.
There he is, Dylan Matthews. Matthews with one T. They just got Corey Seager out, so nice of Max Fried to actually not give up a home run to Corey Seager. So, 2 outs, bottom of the second. Dodgers lead 3-0, and it looks like the second will come to a close. Braves coming into bat, top of the third. Let's get to the SEC swing. Some thoughts from around the league within the conference. One thought, one take, each team, each game. We will start with the two games that went final today. Kentucky beats Tennessee 34-7. Now, you can make the case, as Braden did, that Kentucky should be or could be 4-0. I don't deal in could be or should be's. I just deal in reality. Kentucky was a 1-2 team. They went into Knoxville today and beat the Tennessee Volunteers like a drum. And Tennessee, I don't know how you can be at this point in the Jeremy Pruitt era and you're just god-awful at quarterback. Like Jarrett Garantano, that era can't end soon enough for Tennessee fans. He threw two pick sixes today in a span of minutes, where elsewhere in the world of college football, Trevor Lawrence threw his first interception in one calendar year. There's the difference right there in the best quarterback in college football as opposed to what Tennessee keeps trotting out. I think you make the move to Harrison Bailey, the freshman from Marietta, Georgia, and you say, you know what? We're riding with this kid. And yeah, that might make maybe our win total is much less this year because you bench Garantano. You don't get the 6-4. Maybe they finish 3-7 or 4-6. But so be it. He's the future. Kentucky, by the way, got to give credit to Stoops. This guy continues to win games with Terry Wilson at quarterback. If you've watched Terry Wilson the last 2.5 years, to say he's a game manager would be giving him a ton of credit. And he's not bad. He's like, he is Teddy Bridgewater light of the NFL level. He was 12 for 15 today, 101 yards and a touchdown. I mean, there are kids playing single A high school football that throw for more than 101 yards on a Friday night. If Stoops can ever get a legit dude at quarterback, Kentucky would be all right, or even better than they are. Okay, next game, upset. We got to get to South Carolina. We'll stay in the East. They upset Auburn 30-22 in Columbia. And my take on this game, and specifically with Auburn, and I think this is fair, and I know it's his second year, new offensive coordinator, he's only a sophomore. As much as I think Bo Nix will give you a shot of energy and you get an injection of excitement, and he's got kind of a, you know, kind of a Johnny Manziel ad lib freelancing spirit to him, he makes a lot of mistakes and he is erratic. He is not the most efficient quarterback. And I'm wondering if he isn't Patrick Nix's son, if the hype around him is what it is today. Now, granted, he's probably going to have another year and a half to 2.5 years, assuming he doesn't go pro after his junior year, which I don't think he will. I think he's a four-year guy. But I watch Auburn and I watch Bo Nix, and I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, I know his dad was the undefeated quarterback in 93 for Auburn, but, you know, if his name was Patrick Johnson, would we adore this kid as much as we do? I don't know. I don't see it to the level others see it. Elsewhere in the SEC, how about this? Which Mississippi should we start with? Do you want to start with Ole Miss or Mississippi State? Either way, it don't matter because neither one of them can score. So Arkansas at the half leads Ole Miss 20-0. So you're talking about a Lane Kiffin team. The Rebels got so up for Alabama last week, trying to knock off Nick Saban. And they come back this week, letdown factor. They go to Fayetteville, and they are getting hammered by Arkansas. That one is very hard to explain. Wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas won. Wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas won going away. It is 2020 after all. But Ole Miss dropping bomb after bomb after bomb on Bama, and they're getting blanked by Arkansas? Makes no sense. Speaking of making no sense, we might need to put out an APB and get a missing milk carton campaign going for the Mississippi State offense, because Mississippi State is being shut out right now 14-0 by Texas A&M as we go to halftime. So if you look at Mississippi State and Mike Leach and KJ Costello, they come in guns a-blazing. We're going to bring this Pac-12 Stanford Washington State thing to the SEC. They light it up against LSU 44-34. Since then, 14 against Arkansas, 2 against Kentucky, zip and pip against Texas A&M. They have scored 16 points in the last 8 quarters. They are averaging a safety a quarter for one of the greatest offensive minds in college football. I don't know, maybe the SEC is air raid proof. I mean, nobody in the conference can play a lick of defense other than Georgia. Georgia playing at a level unlike anybody else really in the sport, but Mississippi State can't get on the board? That is also a stunner. Vanderbilt, Missouri postponed. Florida, LSU postponed. Georgia, Bama coming up in just about 2.5 hours. So that'll do it for the SEC swing. And we'll kind of go back quickly to Georgia, Bama. We got to this in the second segment of the show today. And just really a couple of things on this game. One, it is truly amazing that since Nick Saban got to Tuscaloosa in 2007, he lost to Mark Richt in Georgia the first year. Since then, 2008, 2012, 15, 17, and 18, Alabama's 5-0 against Georgia without playing one of those games in Tuscaloosa. 2 in Athens, 3 in Atlanta. The other mind-blowing stat is the fact that the last two times these two teams have played, Kirby Smart and Georgia have led Nick Saban and Alabama for 119 of the 120 minutes in regulation. And they haven't won either game. I mean, let's seriously think about that. Just do the math, do the odds. There's 60 minutes in a game. You play two of them. That's 120. You're in the lead for 119 of those 120 minutes. And you didn't win either one of them. Only for 60 seconds, you didn't have more points on the scoreboard than the other team. And you got an over. Hard to believe. And by the way, Bama Georgia should play more often. The fact that they've only played 11 times since 1978, yet Alabama's played Penn State that many times since 1978 is confounding. I wish it was a game we get every year, but we don't. Okay, final thing too. I am of the belief that for tonight's game, this is the best shot to date Kirby has had against Nick Saban, even with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. The Alabama defense just does not look the same. It didn't look good last year. It hasn't looked good this year. I think Bama's defense is the bigger weakness compared to Georgia's offense. Like, if we're ranking the units, Bama offense number one, they lead the country at 51 a game. Georgia defense number two, fifth in the country, they give up 12 a game. But then we get to the Bama defense, the Georgia offense. The Bama defense, statistically, could be the worst unit of the four. But which weaker unit do you trust more to come through? Bama to get a stop, Georgia to get points. I think that is the key. That is the difference. And Bama's defense might be the worst of the four units. That being said, there's still a part of me that thinks they'll get a stop when they need it against Stetson Bennett. Now look, Stetson Bennett can win this game, guys. Stephen Garcia at South Carolina 10 years ago lit up Nick Saban. He had Alshon Jeffrey and Marshawn Lattimore. Let's not get it twisted. But Stephen Garcia was not a good college quarterback. We've seen this happen before where Nick Saban can be lit up by a mediocre quarterback. But typically, it takes a great quarterback to beat Nick Saban. Johnny Manziel, Braxton Miller, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Tim Tebow. Those are the kind of guys typically. Joe Burrow. Can Stetson look like Stephen Garcia tonight? We'll find out in about 2.5 hours. All right, coming back, final segment on the other side. We'll give our NFL picks against the spread. We will go on the record. We'll tell you how we think the Georgia-Bama game plays out, as well as the Falcons and the Vikings, and if we're headed for a Game 7 with the Braves and the Dodgers. Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend.
Heck yeah.
And neither do we.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
It's just great.
On the weekends, that's all I listen to, really.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekends. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Great to have you here on a Saturday with you for about another 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll hand it off to Jarvis and Tanitra. They'll take you from 6 until 7 this evening. Braves trailing the Dodgers 3-0, bottom of the third. Max Fried already with a runner at first, so he's clearly on the struggle bus today, folks. Two innings, 41 pitches, and already under duress in the third inning. We'll get to some picks in a minute. Bama, Georgia as well should be what I think could very well be the best college football regular season game of the year. You know, I'm thinking about some of the other games that we're going to get. Obviously, the Big Ten will get rolling next week. We get Clemson and Notre Dame. That should be a good one. Notre Dame, North Carolina should be good. Obviously, some other ones within the conference here in the SEC. But Georgia-Bama could very well be the game of the year in the regular season. Best on best, weakness against weakness. We'll see how this thing plays out, which should be, I think, captivating theater. All right, let's get to some NFL picks against the spread. It is time for Nick's Picks. We do it each and every week to wrap up the show here on a Saturday. Now, Dylan Matthews was not with us the last 2 weeks, so he does not know the way things played out. But according to my math, we have done 5 weeks. This is week 6. We are now 3-1-1 as far as winning weeks, losing weeks, and break-even weeks. So if you can go 3-1 and have a break-even, we basically eliminate that fifth week. And we've won 3 of 4 weeks for you. So, Dylan Matthews, are you ready for the picks?
I'm ready, man. Now, you got to keep this hot streak going.
We bounced back. We definitely did. We talked trash. The gambling gods shoved it down our gullet. You stepped away for a couple of weeks. We got back on track. So if the picks go south, I blame Dylan Matthews. He's the mush.
And I will take the blame.
Here we go. So pick number one, I'm going to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. And this one to me is very, very simple. The Cleveland Browns are playing good football. But I don't think the Cleveland Browns can handle prosperity too well. Odell Beckham, illness this week. Not COVID. Comes back, should be fine. But it is amazing how well you can do when you run the football. Whether it was Nick Chubb, now it's Kareem Hunt. The Browns are winning because they're playing sound football on the ground. Baker Mayfield is not having to chuck it 50 times. And the defense has been pretty good. Myles Garrett's been a beast. But Myles Garrett is going up against the team that he whipped his helmet at. Remember the last time the Steelers and Browns played? Myles Garrett got totally outraged, swung his helmet, hit a dude in the head. I think it was Mason Rudolph. Hit him right in his dome, got suspended. I think the Steelers, who, oh, by the way, are undefeated and have a really good defense, use this as motivation. They want to show the Browns, yeah, you're getting better, but you're not to the Pittsburgh Steelers level. So I will take the Pittsburgh Steelers minus the 3.5. They win by 4 or more. Pick number one. Pick number two, I got to go to the big game, the late window tomorrow. After the Falcons and Vikings are over on Fox, we get the Packers and we get the Bucks. We get Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And who knows how many more times we'll get to see this. This will be must-see television. Points, points, points. And as good as the Packers are, and they're 4-0, and they're coming off the bye, I don't know that they're good enough to go in and beat Tampa Bay and beat Tom Brady. So the fact that I get 2.5 points with the Bucks is a little added insurance. I'll take it. I don't think I'll need the points. Bucks win the game outright. Tampa Bay gets to 4-2. Green Bay shows up in the loss column for the first time this year. Pick number two. Pick number three, I'm going to go to Monday Night Football. Arizona on the road against Dallas. Cowboys getting 2.5 points. Season's over. Dak Prescott's hurt. God bless you, Dak. I hope you recover to full strength. And everybody that's listened to me for any amount of time or followed me on Twitter knows that I can't stand Andy Dalton. I think Andy Dalton is one of the most overinflated statistical quarterbacks we've ever seen. Yeah, he completed 63%. Yeah, he threw for this amount of yards. Yeah, he had a decent record.
never won a playoff game, and I've always said, after Uncle Sam takes his 35%, A.J. Green should get another 35%. Because A.J. Green made Andy Dalton much better than he really was. And I'm surprised the Bengals stuck with Andy Dalton as long as they did. But the Arizona Cardinals are not good enough to be laying 2.5 points on the road against Dallas with what I would say is probably the second best backup in the NFL. I mean, we could argue Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, who's the better backup? Jameis is more talented, but more turnover prone. But I'm going to take Andy Dalton because I think Mike McCarthy will run the ball with Ezekiel Elliott and they will try to get that front four after Kyler Murray. And I think the Dallas Cowboys win this game. I think they rally for Dak Prescott because I think they truly like the guy. I'll take the Dallas Cowboys getting 2.5, but I don't think I need the points. Pick number 3. Two more for you. Pick number 4. I am going to go to the Tennessee Titans. They take on the Houston Texans. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite. Houston, 1-4, coming off of their first win of the year. Short week. Remember, the Titans played on Tuesday night. So they are coming back on really short rest. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4 or 5 days between games. And the line is short. Titans are undefeated. Houston's 1-4. Why is the spread only 3 points? You might think Texans. That's what they want you to think. If the Tennessee Titans did not need to practice legitimately or officially for 10 days to beat the Buffalo Bills, shouldn't 3 or 4 days be enough to beat the Texans? I think it is. Therefore, I will take the Tennessee Titans. I'll lay the 3 points. Pick number 4. Final pick. Folks, this is one, I mean, I'm telling you, don't waste your time on the stock market with those criminals. Here's what you got to do. Call your buddies. Call your friends. Text your family. Pool your money together. And take the over Monday Night Football, Kansas City and Buffalo. The over-under is 57.5. Patrick Mahomes off a loss. Josh Allen off of a loss. Buffalo's defense banged up. Kansas City just gave up a 40-burger to the Oakland Raiders. Vegas Raiders. Bet the over in this game. This one has 60-plus points written all over it. Fantasy galore, numbers and stats, and play your FanDuel, play your DraftKings, use Mecole Hardman, use Tyreek Hill, use Stephon Diggs, Allen, Mahomes, Kelsey, the list goes on and on and on. Points aplenty. The over will hit, I'm going to say, late third quarter, which means you have a quarter of football where you're already in the clear. You've already cashed your ticket. Take the over, 57.5, Kansas City, Buffalo, pick number 5. All right, Dylan Matthews, I know you're not a gambling expert, but what do you like? What don't you like? Where'd I go wrong? Where am I right?
I pretty much like all your picks. That Kansas City one is going to be tough, though. I know the defense came out and struggled the last game, gave up a 40-burger, as you alluded to. But I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. I think they're going to come back strong. I just can't see the over. I can't see it. I want to like Andy Dalton. I want to feel like, you know, things just started to go downhill in Cincinnati, and he just didn't have that much talent around him. It just kind of phased out in Cincinnati. But I can't say I'm that confident in Andy Dalton right now. We just haven't seen him in a while.
You're going to ride with Arizona.
I'm going to ride with D-Hop and Kyler Murray.
Okay. I think Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are going to get theirs. I just think this is a game where Mike McCarthy keeps it simple. I think he rides Ezekiel Elliott. And by the way, I mean, Andy Dalton doesn't have a great arm, but he's got weapons with Cooper and Lamb and Gallup. I mean, Dallas has skill players for days, and they're averaging 381 yards a game passing. They won't do that with Andy Dalton. I don't know that they'll have to in this game. So those are the picks. Hopefully you guys can get those in, make a little bit of coin. Again, 3-1-1 as far as our 5 weeks go, wins, losses, and break even against the spread. We've been very good. giving you these winners. So hopefully you made a couple of bucks. And, yeah, you can take care of your old lady, buy her something nice. You know, birthday coming up, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. You know, consider it the Nick Kale stimulus plan. All right, we will come back, wrap things up. Final prediction, Georgia-Bama, Falcons-Vikings. I'll give you that, and then we'll hand it off to Jarvis and Tanitra on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the home for our Falcons.
Hawks and Atlanta United.
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1, a radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Closing moments here on the Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Good stuff today here on a Saturday. I will be back tomorrow digitally. Facebook Live, me and Willie P with the Falcons Facebook flock immediately after the game. We'll talk some Falcons and Vikings for probably a good 20 or 30 minutes. So let's get some picks in here as we wrap it up. First of all, let's go with the NFL game first. Tomorrow, the Vikings and the Falcons. The Minnesota Vikings, about a 3.5, 4-point favorite. I like the Vikings to win this game 28-23. I know Dalvin Cook is out. I know Julio Jones will be back in. But I think this is one of those games where Minnesota, even with Madison, the backup running back, he's a sledgehammer. I think he's a tough matchup. Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, two good receivers that I think will give the secondary of the Falcons some trouble. I think we're going to score as well, but I'll take Minnesota 28, Atlanta 23. I don't think Minnesota is nearly as bad as their record indicates. Also, tonight, the game we're all getting ready for, we're all ready to see, Alabama and Georgia. And I look at this game, and I say, okay, can Stetson Bennett make enough plays? But then I also look at the other side. The Dogs' defense is phenomenal. I think they're capable of bottling up Najee Harris. Can they stop Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith? I don't know. I think they can get after Mac Jones. But again, push comes to shove. Saban 21-0 against his assistants. I'm taking Bama by a touchdown. Alabama 34, Georgia 27. Saban remains undefeated against assistants, although I do believe this is Kirby Smart's best chance. And it would not surprise me if Georgia is winning this game for a good portion, because over the last two, they've led for 119 of 120 minutes. But this is the most vulnerable Bama team, I think, defensively. Kirby doesn't win this game, I'm starting to think he's Mark Richt 2.0. And I don't know that Georgia fans will tolerate that. All right, good stuff today. If you missed any of the show, you can get it at radio.com/929thegame, the radio.com app. You can check out Andrew Brandt from the Monday Morning Quarterback, Braden Gall from Athlon Sports. A shout-out to my man, Dylan Matthews. Great job producing, as always, sir. I appreciate your work. Hopefully the Braves bats will get going here in the next four or five innings, and we can end this thing. If not, we got a Game 7, and we will be following that tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of the Braves. Hopefully we get a comeback. And then Bama, Dogs tonight in prime time in Tuscaloosa. Take care, Atlanta. I will see you next week on the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.